Russia, like all other nuclear powers, develops its nuclear potential, develops its strategic potential. All our plans for creating prospective weapon systems, for developing the defense industrial complex, and for equipping Russia's army and navy with modern equipment and armaments are being carried out. We have created and placed on duty and have begun serial production of the medium-range missile system, Oreshnik. In the current year, we will place into trial combat service, and next year, already on combat duty, systems with a heavy intercontinental missile, Sarmat. At last, Russia is acquiring the unlimited-range cruise missile, Burevestnik, and the unmanned underwater vehicle, Poseidon, with nuclear power plants.
Listen to President Putin's speech and then look at his demeanor. Did you detect any emotion? No, he was not emotional. He was very matter-of-fact and very businesslike. There's nothing new in that except that we have to go back 3.5 years ago to when this war began. Remember, he went in with a very small force into Ukraine, thinking that he would then signal very dramatically to the West that they had gone too far, that pushing NATO to the borders of Russia was unacceptable. And the lights would come on in Washington and Brussels and everywhere else. Everyone would say, oh, wait a minute. We don't want a war. Well, what did he find out? Yes, we wanted a war as long as it didn't involve our manpower. And it was somebody else's manpower dying in great numbers on the battlefield. We were 100% for it because our goal was to destroy Russia. It was to remove him from power. It was to divide Russia into multiple states. It was to rape Russia for Russia's resources, which the bankers in London and New York City, as well as the crazies in Washington, all want access to. It hasn't worked. But stop and consider that for a minute. President Putin miscalculated. He did not appreciate the level of malice being directed at him and his country. He's not going to repeat that mistake in the future. So he wasn't making, you know, rash statements of, we're going to test nuclear weapons immediately, we're going to do this, and we're building more missiles than ever, and we can destroy them. You know, the sort of bombast that you hear coming out of the White House with Donald Trump or his supporters like Lindsey Graham, or remember this Senator Kennedy from Louisiana. He says, I think we ought to just kill all them Russians. Just kill them. Man. What an idiot.
Very you know, statesmanlike.
These people need to focus on domestic politics. That's where they know something. They know nothing about the world beyond these borders. And they need to shut up. The whole apparatus in Washington is unglued from reality. I hate to be blunt. And there is no long-term strategy. Everybody says, well, what are our strategic objectives? And I always laugh when people say, well, you tell me. You know, what are they? You know, this week, now suddenly it's Venezuela. Was it Venezuela 6 months ago? And they'll say, well, we've always had Venezuela on the agenda. Uh-huh. So we've been building, organizing, planning for the last 36 months to intervene in Venezuela. Is that your story? Well, not exactly. You know, the point is we have no long-term strategy of any kind. There is no coherence to anything we are doing. Ask somebody, what is our national strategy for scientific industrial development? What is our national strategy for high technology and its production here in the United States? What is our long-term strategy for the agrarian sector? We used to produce more food than anybody else in the world. Now everybody's upset with the fact that under Biden, we slaughtered a million head of cattle. What a catastrophe. Now we're going to buy it from Argentina? And why are we doing that? Is that because we like Milei in Argentina? We're wasting billions on him now? There is no strategy. None. And listen, I'm not just critical of the current administration. There never was.
Yeah.
There's been no strategy. Now, when I say never, you can point to the containment strategy. Everybody likes to talk about that. That's fine. And they try to justify the war in Vietnam on the basis of containment. But frankly, that's a stretch. There was no reason for us to go to Vietnam. Well, if we didn't go in there, they'd be all over Southeast Asia. You know, what people don't understand is, listen, if they're dumb enough to do it, let them do it. If we are dumb enough to send thousands of troops into Venezuela, if I were advising President Putin, I would say, President Putin, why don't you offer a brigade of military police to the Americans to help direct traffic into Venezuela? I wouldn't stop it. because the outcome will be disastrous. We don't belong there. It's not our country. What are you going to do, though? This is where we are. And you have the Bombs Away Club. It's always there. It's like this Greek chorus. You know, when you studied Greek theater, you always had the chorus. It would repeat things. And that brought everybody up to date on what was really going on in the play. Well, we have this chorus. It's called the Bombs Away Chorus. You know, Lindsay is out there directing it. Bombs away. This is great. It's mindless. It's dangerous. But it pays well. People have enriched themselves with this nonsense. In the meantime, what's happened to our country? You know, 70% of the American population lives, you know, paycheck to paycheck. You know, the numbers of people that actually have any money to spend, once you move beyond the top 10%, who's got money? Where is it? What can they do? You know, gone are the days when you could reckon at the age of 18 that if you graduated from high school and went to a trade school or ultimately to college, that you could reasonably expect to have a good job at the end of that process that would make you enough money to help support a family, buy at least one automobile and a house with perhaps a garage or some overhead. All of that is gone. And in the meantime, we want to invade Venezuela.
Well, and yeah, and I'd like to kind of go down that path before we let you go today, because it's not just Venezuela. And right now we have a lot of combat power, fair amount anyway, in the region. But now that we have bombastic statements, not just about Venezuela, but also about now we want to start going into Mexico, let's see, what was the other one? I can't remember right offhand. I just went, but one of the other countries down there, Colombia. And the question is, where are you going to stop? Because we're talking about potentially going into all these different places. Lindsey Graham specifically said he was going to get a briefing from President Trump on Venezuela and Colombia, and that he has authorized the CIA to go in there. Now, apparently, he's making actual plans to go into Mexico as well. Where does this go? And now let's just add Nigeria into this whole mix as well, down into Africa. What the heck, Doug?
Well, not long ago, there was talk about finally getting rid of this thing called Africa Command. And I was still on active duty when General Abizaid came across from the Joint Staff to talk about Africa Command. I thought it was a very dumb idea. How would we like it if the Russians or the Chinese or somebody else stood up America Command? I said the last thing Africa needs are more men with guns from the United States traipsing through the environment, killing people. They're doing a fine job of that without any interference from us. We should not be doing that. Well, obviously, I lost that argument, and everybody thought I was crazy. This means more four-star, another four-star billet. This means another big headquarters with a three-star and some two-stars and some one-stars and more money and on and on and on. Congress loved it. Obviously, the then Department of Defense loved it. So we've been down this road before. It's crazy. It's absolutely self-defeating. We need to get out of all of it. But unfortunately, we're back to the Bombs Away chorus. It's going to keep us there no matter what. You're talking about Colombia. I went through the General Staff College in 88, 89 with a number of Special Forces guys, and they just loved their time in Colombia. They were down there fighting drug cartels and so forth. And ultimately, I said, well, are you making any difference? And the truth was, well, you know, this is never going to end. Again, go back to our original discussion on this point. The drug problem is inside the United States. There's the appetite. Our borders are not completely secure. Our coastal waters are not completely secure. We have not cracked down on the illegals inside the United States. There is no strategy or plan to deal with it. And, of course, you have the opposition of the president on the so-called left. They want all these illegals in the country. They see this as a way to destroy people like you and I, you know, destroy the American core population, destroy our identity, our culture, our way of life. Well, they've had a great deal of success, I would argue, with that approach. I don't think that's a good idea, and I don't support it, but I see no real strategy to defeat it. I see a lot of talk, and I see haphazard strikes here, there, the next. Send ICE here, send ICE there. Wait a minute. What is the strategy?
Right.
What do we want this to look like when we're through? What are the resources we're committing to? Well, instead of committing the resources to what's important here at home, we're going to commit them to Colombia, which we can't fix, or Venezuela, which we cannot fix. And now they're talking about Mexico. Go back and read what the American Army officers that went into Mexico during after the Mexican War ended. We were there in that country for a year. And in fact, it's something the Mexicans don't like to point out. But as we were pulling out of Mexico, Mexicans came out of their homes and villages and said, please, don't leave. Don't leave. If you leave, the Mexican army will come back. They'll rape our women. They'll steal our food. Sound familiar? In the Euphrates River Valley in 1991? Down there on North Syria?
Oh, well, I remember that, yeah.
If you leave, Saddam's men will come back and they'll kill all of us and so forth. We can't fix it. We cannot fix it. The biggest mistake we can make is to send large numbers of American troops into Mexico. Now, does that mean that we cannot strike at whatever we think is producing quantities of fentanyl? I don't think so. And there's not a great deal that the Mexican government can do about it. The president of Mexico doesn't control the Mexican army. The cartels do. But first, before you even countenance such an idea, you got to get control here inside the United States. I was in Southern Kentucky a few months ago. Wonderful place. I love the people down there. And I saw all of these Mexican restaurants. And I said, what are these Mexican restaurants? Suddenly, everyone in Southern Kentucky become a Mexican food addict. And they laughed and they said, no. I said, well, what is this? Doug, that's where the cartels are laundering their money. I said, well, surely the police know that. Of course. And they all laughed. Of course they do. The problem is here, not in Mexico. We can't fix Mexico. We can't fix Venezuela. We cannot fix Colombia. To go into these places is monumentally stupid. I don't know how else to put it.
And so let me ask you this in the last few minutes we have here. Yeah, look at this from like the top strategic path. There's this idea in the United States that we can literally do anything we want to. We want to dabble here, we can. If we want to dabble in the Middle East, if we want to dabble in the Asian area or in the European area with the Russian Center, we can just dabble anywhere you want. There's never a cost to it. Whatever it costs is, we can just play it and print more money if we need to, et cetera. But I know you've studied a lot over time, and you've been warning literally for decades that we could eventually spend ourselves into oblivion and destroy our own empire, as some call it. What do you see as the risk right now that by continuing to dabble in all these places militarily, that we could be undermining our own stability?
Well, I think that's happened. And of course, you know, people talk about this massive influx of unwanted illegals. Well, one good way to resume that is to go into Venezuela. There'll be large numbers of people that can't wait to get out that'll want asylum in the United States. That's all nonsense. It needs to be shut down. We don't want to do that. We do not need more people who lack skills, who lack education, who are culturally alien to us, flooding our country. Just talk to Americans that live everywhere from Arizona to New Hampshire and ask them about who walks into the hospital and receives fully funded health care, drugs, operations, whatever's required. Illegals. People are not here legally. You know, what are we doing? We should be concerned about helping our population first. What is in the interest of the Americans who are citizens? That should be first. That seems to be last. And of course, that's what everybody voted for Donald Trump to do. They all voted for American first. They didn't vote for Israel first. They didn't vote for more interventions in Latin America. We've been there before. They were all failures. We didn't vote for another war in Eastern Europe. In fact, nobody wants to go to war in Eastern Europe. It's insane. There's nothing there for us. We have no interest in Ukraine. Never have. We wish them well, but there's no interest that requires the massive investment of capital and American blood that would be required if we fought there. This is just a kind of insanity. Now, we have to plead guilty as American citizens because we've let this crap go on for how long? How long have we let it go on? decades. We could have stopped it. It started with Reagan's amnesty back in the 1980s. Nobody on the right ever likes to mention that. Reagan's amnesty? Yeah, that was the beginning. And everybody said, now, this is the end. We will not have any more problems with illegal immigration. And what did we see? Once that amnesty was granted, illegal immigration skyrocketed and continued all through the 1990s. Now, we've got to sober up. Do we want a country? We're not. Because this is not the way to preserve the United States of America. This is not the way to have a country.
And of course, in my view, the real problem with all that is, and you touched on it a minute ago, in the military realm, but it really affects, applies just as much, maybe even more so here. There's no strategic vision. Nobody knows what we want to accomplish. And so therefore, there's also no knowledge or even contemplation of what the steps are to get there. And as it does, we just end up dabbling everywhere. I mean, do you see it any different?
Well, the government is sort of like a big pinball machine. And it launches a ball. You've seen that. And it goes bang, 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 bang. And then the ball disappears. And we'll launch another one. Bang, 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 bang. We lunge from crisis to crisis without any guidance, per se, without any purpose in mind. Because why? Oh, the president says that Maduro's bad. He has to go. He has to be replaced. I think we've heard that sort of thing before. I don't have an easy answer, but I think at this point, the only thing that can prevent us from descending into hell completely is probably financial collapse. Because once it becomes clear that the dollar has been so thoroughly debased that it's no longer useful, and we are largely isolated from most of the world, and we can spend hours talking about BRICS and the emergence of a new financial system and the march to gold as the true reserve currency, until we come to terms with these realities, I think we're just going to double down on stupidity. And I think that's where we're headed.
Well, that certainly is not an encouraging thing, but it is accurate. And one of the hallmarks of our channel here is that we are unintimidated and uncompromised to bring people the truth. Because if you don't know the truth, if you don't know where the holes are, then you don't even know what you need to address. And so one of the things we are grateful that you come and you don't hesitate to point out things that need to be addressed. And we just have to hope that we can get down that path.
Thanks.
So, thank you very much, and we appreciate you guys being with us today. Also, make sure you're aware. I know some people like to get their information via podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcast Addict. Type in Daniel Davis Deep Dive, and you will find us there. Also on the written format at danieldavisdeepdive.substack.com for the written word, which also includes videos too. Share this with your friends. Don't keep this all to yourself, folks, because a lot of people need these kinds of truths that we're sharing with you today, and we encourage you to share that. Thank you very much, folks, and we'll look forward to seeing you later this afternoon on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive.